Right, folks. Over to Chile. Thank you very much.
Good to see Reza back.
Oh, I thought he was starting. Good morning. Good morning. So, today's Father's Day, and we have the best father ever. Amen? And to follow that, our message today is, the news is so good, so don't keep it to yourself. So with that, we're going to worship and honor Jesus. So just pray before we start. Lord, I know that Bruce will pray individually for all later, but we do thank you that Rita is back with us this morning. Thank you for the miracle that you've done in her life. So we do thank you, Jesus. We thank you for each and every one of us. And we thank you that we can come together this morning to praise and worship you, to thank you that you are the ultimate Father on this Father's Day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're going to sing, Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise, majestic name above all other names, the highest heaven and earth proclaim that Jesus is our God.
Jesus is our God.
Now we're going to sing, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? And we are so grateful that we can praise the risen Lord. All Heaven Declares.
Come forward, and if Deborah will come forward, if you come and sit there, Deborah, and if you can change places with Rita just for this prayer. Move that chair a little bit nearer. That is lovely. You can hold that one for me. Right. Now, we are concerned, aren't we, when one of us is in terrible pain. And we've seen quite a bit of that in different ways. But recently, including last night, early morning, Deborah has not been able to sleep because she's got terrible pain. There's nothing they say that they can do about it. It's something that she's had for a very long time. Years ago she was seriously ill, but now she gets these horrible attacks of pain. So we're going to lay hands on her and ask the Lord for healing. And I want at the same time, if I may, to lay hands on Rita. We want full recovery for you, but we're also going to say that although she's not here, we are in one sense laying hands on April through you. We're part of the family. All right? Now then. Would you like to start?
Oh, Jesus, we're so thankful that we can come together like this and acknowledge again that we are one family in you. And Lord, when our brethren are suffering, Lord, we want to bring them to you. We want to lay hands on them in your name, Jesus, because you are the ultimate healer. And Jesus, today we bring before you Deborah, who we know has been in pain all night, Lord. And Lord, we know at other times too. And Jesus, we want to see a complete healing in her from the top of her head to her feet, Jesus. And I know this pain has reached her feet too, Lord. So Jesus, would you come in your name and bring healing to her body? Complete healing, Jesus. And Jesus, we want to pray for Rita too. We thank you for the successful operation. But Lord, we know it can take time with these things. So Lord, we pray healing in your name, that you will bring a complete and swift healing to her, that she might be out and about again more freely, and able to witness to you as she goes. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we think of April, and I pray that right now, Lord, as she lays in that bed in the hospital, that she will know your presence with her. Lord, we long for her to know you. And we thank you, Lord, that as things didn't go too well in the original op, Lord, that you got the surgeons reoperating and saving her life. Lord, we want to thank you for that. And now we want to thank you for a complete healing, Jesus. We pray everything in your name, and we thank you that you will do it. We've seen miracles. We've seen a miracle this week with Richard's healing. We want to thank you for that, Lord, that so quickly he seemed to go from hardly being able to walk to almost running. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. And we pray for all our brothers and sisters in this fellowship and those known to us who are suffering. And we lift them all in your name, Jesus, and we believe for miracles. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lord, we look and we look in your word and we see fantastic miracles. But Lord, we know that the age of miracles has not passed. And as we lay hands on Deborah and on Rita, and in one sense on April, we ask, Lord, for a miracle for all three. Lord, may pain disappear from Deborah. May Rita's recovery be complete. Yes, Lord, complete, so that she can not just hop around, but do what she really would love to do. And Lord, for April, oh Lord, we can't understand why there's been so much trouble. But Lord, the major operation now has taken place, and we look forward to complete healing there. So Lord, would you bless these, our servants, and may we be able to rejoice in the power of you, Lord, as their healer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as we continue now in prayer, we pray for each other. We pray for Jilly and Richard. We ask that you would equip both of them for their ministry. And we thank you for Richard's recovery. We pray for Brian. We pray for his daughter. We pray for his son David and for his wife. And Lord, we know that they've had sad news, but we pray, Lord, that there might be great recovery there. We pray, Lord, for Graham. We pray, Lord, for Eunice. We pray, Lord, for Jean. And whilst we pray for Jean, Lord, we bring in a real way, Lord, for Stuart. He can't be with us, Lord, but we miss him. But Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would be very near him. And as we have the bad news that there is some cancer there, Lord, we pray that you would be a great healer in his life. We pray for Sarah. We thank you for her. Thank you for the way that she is helping other people. So practical is our Sarah, and we thank you for her. Lord, we pray for each other. We pray for our family, for our friends. And Lord, as we pray for our family and our friends today, we would pray especially for our fathers and for all who take on the role of fatherhood. We ask that you would protect them from all evil in this world. For each one who has invited you into their lives, we pray that they will grow closer and closer to you and become faithful disciples, serving you and being filled by the Spirit. May they feed upon your word and fulfill the tasks you have given them. For those who do not know you or accept you, may they be awakened to the truth of the gospel and turn to you in repentance and faith. May your presence give many blessings to each one. Be their guide, be their wisdom, be their joy, and fill them with your peace. And we commit them all into your safekeeping. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Can you put that on there? Now back over to Jilly.
Steal your thunder. And we do have so much to give thanks for, and not least we thank Jesus for the cross. We thank the Lord for sending Jesus. We thank you for the resurrection, for the Holy Spirit and the new lives that we lead because of it. And we do all suffer from time to time, but thank you, Lord, that we can come before you knowing all those wonderful things that you have done for us. So we're going to sing, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Yes?
We know that prayer is vitally important. And I've just something else I want to add to the prayer time that we've just had. Let us pray. Lord, we want to pray for Bruce. We thank you for him and for all that he does. And as we pray for him, we want to pray once again for John and Margaret. They can't leave their own home, Lord, on their own. And they have many needs. But we pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe. Keep them from falling. Lord, give them confidence that you, Lord, who they love, will always be there for them. So, Lord, be with them. Be with Bruce as he seeks to help them. Give him peace. Give him patience. Empower him, Lord, for that task. Be also with Dawn, Emma and Hannah and all Bruce family and friends. Equip Bruce for his ministry. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Deborah for our scripture reading.
Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom were still living, though some had fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. At last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Thank you.
So, as you know, the message is the news is so good, so don't keep it to yourself. So our first songs were around what the message is, and now we sing about taking that message out. And we're going to sing "Colors of Day Dawn Into the Mind." And the chorus, "So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit, let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show."
Colors of day drawn into the
The news is so good, so don't keep it to yourself. And I think I said last week that next week's message, in other words today, is going to be a challenge to us all. From 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. I wonder, what is the greatest news that you have ever received? And once you heard it, how hard was it for you to contain that news? Did you not rush to your phone or go out into the streets and share it with anyone who would listen? Was it the fact that we had received perhaps promotion, or we were informed by a doctor that we were cancer-free? All these items are noteworthy and worthy of celebration. But the greatest news that ever came, what, over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus' disciples heard and saw that their friend, teacher, and leader was alive from the dead. Now that is incredible news. And because of the visible proof of his resurrection, those broken-hearted followers of Jesus turned into a courageous band of witnesses who, without the threat of any reprisal or retaliation or even fear of death, they took to the streets to tell anyone who would listen to the good news. What was the result of that excitement? Well, in just a few years, their message had spread to the distant regions of the Roman Empire. How, I wonder, are we doing in this department? Are we as excited as the early disciples about sharing the good news? Here, my friends, are some important truths for us to keep in mind about the resurrection itself. First, the resurrection is basic to our Christian faith. The resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of the Christian faith. Jesus promised his resurrection, and the fact that it really happened showed the world that Christ has power over death and is the very ruler of God's eternal kingdom. Secondly, the resurrection is the focal point of the Christian message. The first two sermons that Peter preached after Jesus' resurrection focused on the resurrection itself. Paul also made it clear that the resurrection was the key element of Christianity. He said, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." And we know Jesus appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to many more than 500 of brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom were still living, though some had fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he says, he appeared to me as one abnormally born. The resurrection, you see, is not a myth. It's not a joke or a fantasy that was crooked up by a bunch of frightened fishermen. Oh no. They'd lost their leader. Yes, they were quiet until they met him. But once they met him, their lives changed. The resurrection is certain because of Christ's resurrection. The resurrection, what do I mean? Our resurrection, eternal life, is certain because Jesus rose again. Because he rose, we know that what he promised is true. First, he is God. Because Jesus rose, we have the assurance that our sins are also forgiven. Because Jesus rose, he lives and sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding or praying for us. And because Jesus rose, he defeated death for us. Therefore, we know we also will be raised. The resurrection is our hope, in other words, of eternal life. All religions speak of some sort of life after death. But friends, that is just talk. All other religions offer an uncertain kind of hope. It's the hope that has no proof. Only Christianity can give a certain hope that death has been conquered. Why? Because, of course, Jesus was raised from the dead. Again, no other religion offers a leader who can prove that other religions are not true, but those who believe in him will be raised from the dead. No other religion can prove that. So, for all eternity, we can have with Jesus. That's what the resurrection of Jesus has achieved for us. This was Jesus' promise. He said, if I go, I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And then the resurrection includes both body and soul. Paul wrote to a church in the city of Corinth, which was at that time situated in the heart of Greek culture. And according to the Greek philosophers, the soul was the real person imprisoned in a physical body. And at death, the soul was released. But Christianity, by contrast noted, teaches that the body and the soul will be united in the resurrection. And as Paul explained to the Corinthians, so will it be with the resurrection of the body, of the dead. The body is sown, is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Our resurrection will also be eternal. Do we like what we look? Well, get used to it, my friends, because our resurrected body will have a similar appearance, but it will be different in substance. After the resurrection, when Jesus was miraculously appeared to his disciples through closed doors, notice, do you remember? They recognized him. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Our resurrected body will be better than we can ever imagine. We will still have our own personality and distinctives, but these will be perfected through the work of Jesus. There will be no more sickness, no more death. We will live forever. So finally, what does that mean for us? Well, the fact of the resurrection should give us a sure hope about the future, and it should make us more excited about our faith. Christ's resurrection is proof that death is no longer to be feared. When we die next week, next month, or many years later in the future, it doesn't matter. Why? Because as believers, we have no reason to fear death. You understand what Jesus was saying to his disciples, and now to us, do you? I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he said. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Now, we might be thinking, if we had been there and witnessed Jesus alive from the dead, well, then we could be excited, just as the early disciples were. But we were not there. We are alive some 2,000 odd years later. Should that make any difference? No, it cannot make any difference. Peter didn't think so either when he wrote this. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, Peter said we should be rejoicing with joy inexpressible. Now our joy, yes, our joy should be so visible that people around us can't help noticing something different about us. Is that joy in our lives visible? If not, maybe it's time for us to refresh our understanding of the implications of the resurrection of our lives. There will be renewed excitement Remember, this news is good. And we don't, we can't, we must not keep it to ourselves. So let us go forward and tell everyone we know that Jesus loves us, he died for us, and he rose again. So we know it's true. God bless you all. Amen.
So, what a wonderful and exciting message. And the most obvious song to me seemed, "Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake. God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing." We long for that day.
Church of God, awake, our saving news to all the nations. Take, proclaim Christ Jesus, Savior, Lord, and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing.
Mother's Day. Oh, look what I was given today. It says best dad. I'm not sure about that, but I mean, that's lovely. I haven't opened the card yet, but for the men of our fellowship, I come round with a gift before we sing our last hymn. And there's one thing about this, you know, it's heroes. Can I say you are a hero? Brian, you are a hero. Graham, you are a hero.
I'm a hero too.
Bruce, you are a hero. Any more? That's it. Oh no. He may not be with us, but Stuart's a hero. We know and love him. Hmm? Yes. It's in here. I've got one for Robert. He does so much in preparation for us. He's a hero too.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Really.
Have I not missed anyone? Good. Over back to Jilly.
What's she on about? You're a mum. In continuing in taking the message out, we're going to sing We'll Walk the Land with Hearts on Fire. Let the flame burn brighter in the heart of the darkness, turning night to glorious day. Let the song grow louder as our love grows stronger. Let it shine. Let it shine. And thank you to Richard this week. I said, have you got a song burning on your heart? And he gave me a great long list. So I only chose one. And this is one of his. Which I also love.
Let it shine.
Happy Father's Day, Lewis, and all the dads in the pub.
Right. Let us come together.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.
There was one earlier.